Today, we're talking about 5 ways that you can work smarter, not harder, in youth ministry so that you can focus on what's truly important.
Welcome to the Ministry Coach Podcast, where we bring you weekly tips and tactics to help you fast track the growth and health of your youth ministry. If this is the first time we're meeting, my name is Jeff Lascola, and this is my lovely wife,
Kristen Lascola.
Okay.
Changing it up, you know,
yes.
In case they've been listening for a long time.
That's true. If in that case, you already know who we are, so forget about it.
True. All right, Jeff, buckle up, because today I'm going to give you some hacks, I guess, that are time savers, time saving hacks to help you float through your tasks a little more efficiently and not get bogged down in work, because youth ministry is a blast, but it also is a job sometimes. Mm-hmm. It feels like work on those Mondays, Wednesdays, you know? And so I'm going to give you things that I do personally that help me save time.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. So my first tip for working smarter and saving time is batch planning. I don't know. I think I coined that term, but it's just because I couldn't think of a great description for it. But basically what it is, you plan specific things all at once in batches. And what I mean by that is the way I used to work, and this was like a very slow pace, is I used to say, all right, I need a game. What game should I play? Oh, I need a message. Like I need to work on
week
my message.
Week by week kind of thing.
Yeah. And what I realized is the creative process like never really got started because I was so bogged down and like, I need something. I don't have time to be creative. I just need something.
Yeah.
And so I was like, just looking for what is it? Not really, how can I make it really great? Because just having it was consuming all my time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do now is I find time to batch plan, like for instance, games. So at the beginning of the year, I know we're, you know, past the beginning of the year now, but taking a moment to plan out your next 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, of games. So you would just sit down and say, it's game planning time, not my next game, my next
right.
40 games
right.
or whatever it is. That is what you're planning. Messages. I'm going to plan our next 8 series so I know what's coming. Then you can do maybe I'm going to get all my events down on the calendar. And now it's not saying you're planning everything to a T. You're just taking the pressure of decision off your plate and moving from decision to preparation to perfection, if that makes sense. Because if all of your energy is going toward decision making, you have no time to make it really good, and you have no time to engage in it in a more perfecting or creative kind of way.
So when you say, like, we actually did a full episode, if you guys want to check it out after this one, about how to plan an entire year's worth of game in under 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So are you doing all of these things, like, let's say games, events, messages, let's just take those 3 things. Are you doing that like, this is one day I'm sitting down and doing all 3 of those, or one day I'm doing this?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, that would be a lot for one day, but I would say that would be a goal for like, okay, by the end of this week, I'm going to know my next 6 months of events, messages,
yeah.
games, icebreakers, camp locations, leader hangouts, whatever, and just getting it done so that now the decisions have been made.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of like executing it and making it really good. Because I've realized when I was struggling as a young youth pastor, it was because I would think, okay, it is Tuesday. It's my youth group day. Time to think of a game. And it was like,
time to think of a message.
Like no joke, literally. And it was just so very like stressful, because then I'd be like, oh, I could play this game, but shoot, I'd have to go to the store and get this. And then, oh, we don't have enough time to set this up. And now I can look ahead and say, oh, next week we're playing this. Okay, I need to get balloons
right.
and this and this and this, and I'm all ready to go. And I realized things just move so much smoother when you're not in, like, Craig Rochelle, I think he says, like, he was it him or what's the guy, Apple guy, he died
Bill Gates.
No.
No. Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs.
Dudley Moore. No, sorry.
I heard, you know how he was always seen in that black turtleneck?
Yes.
Well, he owned a bunch of them. And because he said, that is one less decision I have to make in that day. I would rather.
Wow, you're a genius and you can't figure out what to wear.
He said he wants to reserve his decision-making capacity for things that matter and then just get robotic about the rest. Craig Groeschel adopts like a similar idea, but when the pressure of making the decision is off, so batch planning, I think, is just so helpful because now you've put yourself in a different mindset. I like to also do this with emails. I used to check my email way too much throughout the day. Mm. And so when you read an email, you oftentimes have to pause and stop and give that person an answer or a document or what they need. Or you're like, oh, I don't know the answer. Well, let me look that up. And it sidetracks you to now whatever they want you to be doing. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer, like 24 hours for email is a good response time. So I'm not saying don't check your email, but just don't do it all day long. So what I like to do is I do it right when I get in, and then I work, and then I'll do it like about an hour before I'm going to be done working so that I have some cushion, whatever works for you. Some people don't like to check it right when they get to work because it's like, oh, now the email has dictated what I'm doing with my day. Sometimes I need that. I need a little like, oh, is there something I have to take care of? I need to know like what's a priority. But just stop checking your email every 5 minutes. Check it twice a day, batch responses, get it all done, and then move on. And so just focusing on those like tasks and getting a big portion of them done. We do this thing called the impossible shot. And these kids have to answer these super funny questions. They're called impossible questions. They answer it, then they take an impossible shot. It's like getting this little basketball into this little hoop. Well, I used to get stuck like, oh, I have to write these questions. And it's like not hard, but it took a while for me to think of stuff. So now it's just like, all right, today is my day. I'm writing all my impossible shot questions for the month so that I don't have to think about it next Tuesday. It's just they're done because like that batch planning, then now I'm freed up on Tuesday to do something more creative and make things better. In your program, I believe the quality really goes up because you're now in like your energy is being poured into people or relationship or creativity, or, you know, you just have given yourself margin and you've moved from tasks and switched gears into leadership, creativity, spirituality, you know. But when you're bogged down with tasks, you can't really ascend into any other level of brain power.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And you had mentioned,
I didn't mean that to sound as like, oh, as it did. Like it sounded so like, you will ascend your mind. Like so new age. That's not how I meant
it. You mentioned mindset. And I think that's a key point because once you're starting to, if you're focusing, let's say on games, constantly shifting gears in your brain, like I need to come up with a game, you know, let me waste 15 minutes trying to figure that out. Okay, now let me shift gears. I need to think of an icebreaker. Right. Let me do that. And if you could just plan them all out, I feel like your mind just gets into the games. Okay, now totally. I can think of 10 games. All right, I'm gonna write all these down. This one would go great next week and then the week after that. And you know, now I would have like a game that's
you work a lot
indoor
quicker.
And then outdoor, and your mind is in that rhythm. Same with email, same with any task. Once you batch it, you start getting in that rhythm instead of constantly stopping, restarting, stuff like that.
Yep.
All right. So number two, what do you got?
So number two kind of goes along with it because we said, okay, like plan all your series and plan what to teach. Well, that's where a lot of people get stuck because they're like, I would love to plan it. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to teach on and where should we go? So my new favorite resource, CoLeader, it is amazing for this. And so what it does is it's basically gives you sort of like a roadmap and you can pay as you go. You can pay for like one big subscription or you can just do it sort of a la carte. Like, oh, I want this series or this game. And I love it because it's kind of like the next level of curriculum. So there's curriculum. They give you messages and talk sheets and graphics and all of that. But then they give you ideas for parent meetings. They give you ideas for events
and
CoLeader. So it sort of is like honestly like a roadmap for youth ministry to know, all right, I'd love to plan ahead. Just tell me what, where to plug things in. And you can actually just plug in whatever you like. Ooh, I like this series. I like this event. And then you just pay for the ones you like, or you can say, give me a whole year. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, all right, well, here's a template. If there's something you want to, like, if they gave you a series on Jonah and you're like, no, I want this one instead, you can switch them. So you're not like locked in, but there's freedom, but not so much that you get lost. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, here's a million things to choose from. It's like not another Google. It's like, here's some boundaries and you can have some control without being completely overwhelmed by choices. The payment option is great too. What I love about Co-Leader is that sometimes, like when I was especially just starting out, I'd see the price tag of these curriculum and I'm like, how can I do this? Right. How can I justify this? This is like a third of my whole budget and I could just never pull the trigger on those. Because
it usually
things.
Is for a full year.
Yeah. And some, you know, sometimes they'll give you even a little more, but I just never could do it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't afford it. And so if you have a small budget, Co-Leader is a really good option because you can only pay for what you actually want. Cause sometimes I'd get series and curriculum where I'm like, well, I liked half of these. The other half were like, not for me. So that's a Co-Leader kind of solves that problem that way. So the cool thing too, is you could try it out for 4 weeks for free. You can click the description, click the link in our description and it'll take you to it. But I feel like, man, if I had had Co-Leader when I was a 20-year-old brand new youth pastor, or just getting into youth ministry, or, you know, it's that thing that you've probably been looking for to just give you some direction. Mm-hmm. Well worth it. So
I like the fact that, so a lot of things will say, you know, sign up for free, which is kind of, it's true, but you know, there's like, but put in your credit card information. And we all have, it's like, wait, why is all of a sudden this charge on my credit card? Because I forgot that 30 days later it gets charged. And with Co-Leader, it's no credit card needed.
Yeah.
So that, I like that because it's like, it legitimately is like a free test drive. And so if you forget, like me, confession, I haven't even told you this. I was going through credit card statements recently and there was a recurring $4.99 charge. And I'm like, what the heck, from NFL.com? And I'm like, what? Then it dawned on me back in, I think, December. It is now May. In December, I had signed up for the free, like, where you could watch games, but then it ended up not. I'm a Bengals fan, and I live in Southern California. Therefore, unless they're playing primetime, I never get to see them. So I thought, I'll use this, and so I could see the home games and the way all. No, it didn't work. It didn't give me any of that stuff. So I'm like, forget this. Well, I literally forgot about it. So 5 months later, I was apparently still paying $5.
$25 in. Yeah. Wow. For nothing.
For nothing. I didn't watch a single thing.
Wow.
On that.
What a waste. Well, Co-Leader will not Co-Leader do that to you.
Co-Leader does not do that to you.
Moral of the story, don't you
so
worry
make sure
about
you
it.
Sign up in the link below and take your actual, truly free test drive.
Yeah. It'll save you a lot of time, honestly. It takes a lot of the guesswork out of things, so you'll love it. All right, number three, have an organized system for saving things so that you don't redo it every time. Mm. This is a definitely work smarter, not harder. There's so many times where I'm like, oh, I had a sermon on that, or oh shoot, where was that, like those notes for this? And so figuring out your organized system, like, it's one thing to save something, it's another thing to be able to actually find it. So, and that goes for physical things too. I've noticed I save so much time when my game closet is organized. So I have a closet where I keep all my supplies. It's like, here are my dodgeballs, here are my other balls, here are the like squirt guns, here are the summer camp supplies, here's my beach supplies. Yeah, youth pastor life. My squirt guns, where are my squirt guns?
Here's the pool noodle section, here's the dodgeball.
Here's
section.
The googly eyes. Here's the large googly eyes. Here's
costume bin.
I do have a costume bin. It is a very large collection, may I say. Here's my bouncy balls, deflated bouncy balls. So when we're going to play a game, I've realized setup is a breeze when I know exactly where, oh, this is where my flag football stuff is. This is where these are. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. Instead of like, wait, where is our blue football and has anyone seen? And then you don't have the supplies you need. So then all the games you spend all that time putting in your calendar and planning, now you can't play because you can't find your stuff. So a huge hack for a smooth job in youth ministry is know where your stuff is digitally and know where your stuff is physically and take the time to organize it. And I think organizing for the longest time for me felt like so fruitless in the moment because it's like, I'm not getting anything done. Like yeah. I'm not, but you are, you're like, do like what you, your future self will thank you for. Mm. And it's like, if you're going to keep this as a well-oiled machine, you've got to take care of your stuff digitally and physically. Know where it is so that your work flows.
How do you organize your stuff digitally? I want to see if you do it the same way I do.
So, well, it depends. Like I have things just all in folders.
Okay.
And then like I do that by year and then I do it by like series. Oh. So most of the time, let's say I have a folder that says student leadership team and then I'll click on that. And within that, I've been in this a long time. So I'll have it all the way from back in like
2005.
Yeah, pretty much 2006, 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then I click on that and then it'll say like, homework, job calendar, this, and this. So the documents, I try to save them fresh each year. So it's not just like, oh, the same calendar from 2014 that I've been using for forever, but I try to update it and resave it as a new document every year. Mm. So this is what I did in 2023, because when 2024 hits, it's nice to go back and pull that 2023 document and just adjust it for the new year.
Better clip art.
You know. Exactly. There was a time, Jeff, when I used a lot of clip art.
Very recently.
So, no. You don't know my art.
Oh, I know. And it's clip.
I don't even think clip art exists anymore, does it?
That's for you.
Shut up.
When you keep regurgitating the same phrase.
Yeah,
files.
That's the danger. But see, then it can evolve over time, you know, when you update it and develop it and whatever over time. But saving it brand new for each year is very helpful for me.
Okay. All right.
Go-kay. So save your stuff. Keep it organized. Your job will be a lot easier. All right. Number four, working smarter, not harder. We did a whole episode on meetings, but keep only the necessary meetings. Make them short and efficient. Here's one thing. Meetings are not an excuse for hanging out.
Yeah.
Okay. So if a meeting needs to happen, it should have a purpose beyond, how are you guys? That's called hanging out. And if you want to do that, do it better. So if you want to spend time with your staff, don't call it a meeting because that is boring for everyone except for you. If you're in charge of the meeting, you're kind of like, hey, we're killing two birds with one stone we hung at.
Stone,
man. It was Canadian and then I went Jamaican. Choose your own adventure. But it's like, then take them to coffee, go get ice cream, yeah. Go get frozen yogurt. If you truly want to hang out, go have fun. Don't call a meeting fun. Meetings aren't fun. Meetings maybe could have a fun element if you're kind of laughing and there's some food out or something, but it's like, that's not hanging out. I, for one, am like, let's have a meeting be a meeting. I want to be in and out. And if we're hanging out, tell me this is hangout time and we're having fun. Don't blend the two.
Let me know when that starts and when it ends.
Let me know when the fun starts, but I know it's not during a meeting with me sitting there. I'm not a meeting person. I think that's the thing. I want to either be working or having fun. And meetings are neither. Okay. Oh my gosh. That's it. That's why I don't like meetings. I want to either be productive or having fun. And meetings accomplish
neither.
Interesting. I just discovered something about myself. So that's my thing. It's like meetings. I realized this. It was like this light bulb moment over COVID where I could not believe how fast I could get my work done. And it was because I was having no meetings.
Mm.
And there's something to be said for like, hey, how are you doing? How's your weekend? Like you have to be relational. But at the same time, like, if you're short on time, then cut a meeting that does not need to happen. And instead, turn that into a once a month frozen yogurt thing. Go have fun with your employees. All right. Number five. And lastly, bring in the help. So how are you going to work smarter, not harder? You need help. Do you have interns? Do you have super volunteers? Do you have a student leadership team? I hope you have one of those groups of people. I have all of those groups of people. And let me tell you, it's a little bit of work in the beginning because you have to train people how to do stuff. But once you do, it is mutually beneficial because people love to serve and be a part of things and have a job to do. And there's probably a lot of things that you are doing that you don't need to be doing. And that would give you so much hidden time to do actually important things, the things that only you can do. Remember, I think it's Craig Groeschel's or Andy Stanley's or Carrie Newhoff's, all their voices get mixed together in my head, but only do what only you can do. Meaning, for the longest time, we have had this thorn in our side of inputting attendance each week. I gave it to my admin. My admin hated it, and she gave it to a couple of high school girls who really want to keep coming to junior high program. And we're like, you can't keep coming to junior high program unless you work for us. And they do. And they come in the office early every Tuesday. They input all of our attendance. A, they love it. B, they're very good at it. And C, it gave them a ticket in and they want to be there. So I'm like, fine. It's a win-win all around, you know? Or, you know, setup used to take me a long time. And that's something that has to be done, but really anybody could do it. So I gave it to my student leadership kids. Hey, all you guys have to do is be here a half an hour early, 15, 20 minutes early, depending how fast they work. And you set up everything. You lock or unlock the doors and turn on the lights and turn on the sound systems. Again, you train them on it. But once they're trained, they kind of are plug and play. They go and do their thing. If you don't have interns, you might be thinking, well, yeah, I can't afford an intern. Well, most of my interns are unpaid. I have an admin, a paid intern, and then two unpaid interns that are just kind of wanting ministry experience. They do a ton of setup, a ton of teardown, just like setting up the chairs or setting up the weekend service or even writing. We do this like, would you rather board where we ask a question, would you rather this or that? They think of that, they write it, like all those little details that add up to sucking your time and making you less efficient. Give those things away. Get a couple interns, use a student leader. If you work with junior high, use some high schoolers. If you work with high school, like ask if anyone is interested in helping you out in the office. I've had kids, junior hires, girls work a little better than boys, just saying, because they're a little more organized and responsible, but teach them office work. I've had kids come to youth group because what kid does not want to come to youth group early? My kids want to be there at 5 o'clock. So it's like, well, as long as you're here, why don't you do a mailer for me? Why don't you input attendance? They love having jobs. They would way rather do that than wander around. So another one, and this is like less task oriented, but raise up another teacher. Like sometimes youth pastors start to feel overwhelmed because they're teaching sometimes two or three times a week. Like I teach Saturday night, two Sunday morning services, Tuesday night if I'm on, and then a student leadership team. So I could end up teaching 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week, just me. But if I raise up another teacher, yeah, it takes a little bit of work to get somebody competent, like on speaking, and but you give them little ink, like have them start off with their testimony, then have them start like give them, you know, curriculum that's pre-written and just have them practice it with you, then have them do like a devo, and then you just work up to it till they're a little bit more proficient. But it's so worth it to develop and pour into people, because then they pour back into your ministry, therefore alleviating, now I don't have to teach every single weekend, so I can go on a vacation, or I can just come and hang and be a part of things. I'm not the main teacher for everything all the time.
I can be sick and not show up.
Totally. And it just is this so nice when I do go back and teach. I'm excited to do it. I'm not just like, oh my gosh, another message. I'm like, ooh, it's my turn. Like I feel excited because now I'm in a rotation with two other guys and they're great teachers. So it's again, that mutually beneficial thing. You're raising up leaders and they're pouring into your ministry. You don't have to be the only teacher. Teach people to do things that you don't have to do, and you'll find a lot of hidden time.
You wanted to say don't want to do, but
there's something I want to say. It just didn't seem to flow. So anyways, yeah, but you'll get, you know, a lot of margin that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're all hoping for, because I think we all feel like the tasks are never ending. And there was a time when I was doing every single thing,
right?
Every single thing. And I felt so overwhelmed. And I'm like, okay, isn't this crazy to think about? This is the biggest my ministry has ever been. This is the biggest my staff has ever been, like volunteer wise. And this is the least overwhelmed in ministry I've ever felt. Hmm. And it's because I learned how to work smarter in the ways we just described. And because I learned how to use people to their potential, and therefore we're all benefiting because I'm not doing every single thing. I was way more stressed when our ministry was small, which is ironic. It's just because I was doing every single thing, and it was just a lot.
It always reminds me of the Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's playing baseball and he's the pitcher, the catcher, the outfield,
yeah, that's
and
how
just
it
like
feels.
Running all around, yep, trying to get everything done.
Totally.
So make sure you guys check out the other episodes we did. One about how to plan a year's worth of games in under 30 minutes. The other is how to make your meetings not suck, which is a great one. And also pause this podcast, YouTube channel, wherever you're watching or listening. Go sign up for Co-Leader. Make sure you check it out. Link is in the description below. But right now, we're going to do a community comment of the day. And this comes from Rye R, who says, "Thank you both for being diligent and helping by sharing what God places on your hearts. I appreciate it."
Well, we appreciate you, Rye R.
We do appreciate you. Thank you so much. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, make sure you give it a like. And if you're, not already subscribed, make sure you do so. We thank you so much for watching and listening
and we'll see you next time.
A big part of youth ministry can a big part of your youth ministry can be something. What am I trying to say?
We've all had it. So stick around for the ministry coach. I ran out of breath. I couldn't breathe.